Hello, and welcome to The Analytic Angle, a podcast brought to you from the Statistics, Data Science, and Data Management Corps in the HIV Center at the New York State Psychiatric Institute and Columbia University. In this episode, we discuss our favorite movies that depict scientific research, statistics, or data analysis. Hi, this is Kale.
Hi, this is Martina.
Hi, this is Richard. So, for today, we thought we'd do something a little tangential. We were talking before we began about our favorite movies, in particular our favorite movies about calculating and statistics and science. Yes, there are movies apparently about calculating and statistics and science. Martina, what was your favorite? And,
well, I was
and why?
Thinking, I really, really liked one of the recent movies, which was called Hidden Figures. And not only that it depicts the role and importance of women in NASA, and you know, but it what is really nice there is showing how calculations have been done before computers and before really a big calculators were happening or were, you know, invented. And I think a lot of our students nowadays, they cannot imagine how hard the calculation was in the past, and they do not understand why certain statistics, certain interim measures that we still have in statistics are irrelevant today and why they were useful in the past. Because in the past, when they wanted to have some calculations, the women in the back, which were in a large numbers, there were 20, 30 women in a room participating on one calculation using abacus, papers, boards, and some sort of ideas how to simplify the calculation. It took them a very long time to even compute like a simple regression or a simple sort of modeling. And for that reason, for instance, that time, they had things like adjusted R-square that halfway through the calculation could tell them whether addition to a model is actually potentially useful addition or not. However, nowadays in the science, when we get the full results, including parameter estimates, standard errors, p-values, confidence intervals, we all get that in seconds. We do not have a reason for adjusted R-square. And adjusted R-square is really a thing of the past that no one should be using. So to me, that movie Hidden Figures really had shown nicely the struggle that was actually involved with just essentially computation. And I really like that movie for it. Additionally, it's a great story, and the women were amazing. So
I find that so interesting. That this took place in the mid-60s, late-60s, is that right?
When did it? Well, like 55, I think. So it's 55, 60s. Or
so they did have some, but they did have some large computers, these huge card reading, tape reading things, or is that not true?
That is actually interesting. That's part of the movie. One of the women who was part of the computation task force actually is learning Fortran, and she is the first one to operate the first computer in the NASA.
Ah.
So that movie depicts the moment right before the computer arrived and right when it started. So there, the three characters in the movie, each has its own role. One of them becomes really good scientist and computation. One of them starts operating the Fortran, the big computer that arrives to NASA. And one of them becomes like a leading engineer and gets her engineering degree, as I remember, and helps to somehow improve the actual module or whatever went to space. Kale.
Yeah, I think that that's really interesting, because it's almost like in the past analysis and statistical analysis, it was a little more like almost an experiment in the natural science where it like took a long time to do a particular thing. So in the same way that maybe a biologist would have to grow cultures or like measure plants, you actually had to take all this time to do the model for whatever, like that was a really serious like long time period, which I think in today's day and age, that's largely gone away. You know, people can just press one button on any laptop computer and it has enough computational power to do so many things. It just really changes the psychology, I think, of how people approach what they do.
Yeah, I think that's right, because I think in the past people really had to think hard about the model and put a lot of thoughts in it because it was very expensive to run it. However, nowadays people feel like they can run a lot of models and just like later think about it. And that has sort of changed to, I'm not sure, it's just different. I don't know if it's better or worse, but yeah.
Yeah, I have similar thoughts. I wonder if it's, I mean, you have more flexibility and more options. On the other hand, it does take away that deep cognition about a problem. I think about that in terms of simulations. You know, so many people, instead of sort of thinking the issue through and wondering, well, what sort of variations are possible and what sort of transformations are likely, they run 20,000 simulations and then they just do a frequency analysis on what they get and they don't have to think so hard about it. It's probably better, but maybe not. I'm not sure.
I'm always a big fan of thinking through before actually analyzing or simulating anything, because I think that thought is the most valuable thing that we have as humans and can move us forward much more than tons of models that we can run. So for that reason, I find that movie really amazing, and I always talk about it in the class to students because it is a great example how things were done in the past and how valuable the results were. But what about your movies, you guys?
Well, I have an older movie. It's a movie that was originally aired on the BBC in Britain and was hard to find for a long time because the things that the BBC owns often are difficult to get. But now I think you can get it on Vimeo. Oh, somebody has pirated it and put it up on Vimeo, so I shouldn't, in case they get in trouble, I shouldn't say anything. But it's called Life Story.
Life Story.
It was released for a time in the United States with the really unromantic title, The Race for the Double Helix. But the original title was Life Story, and it's about James Watson, Francis Crick, and Morris Wilkins, and Rosalind Franklin in England in the early 1950s, and the sort of scientific mania for discovering the structure and mechanics of DNA and replication, and how different approaches to it. And, you know, it's dramatized, but it's basically the story of how Watson and Crick came up with it, published it. But it has so many things I find relevant to scientific research. For me, it's the best depiction of the culture of scientific research, at least that I've come across. Everything from the debate, there's a wonderful debate between Watson and Crick, who are basically just throwing ideas out there and seeing which ones stick. Neither of them are really experts in the field. Watson apparently was famous for working on bacteriophages, and Crick had a significant paper on hemoglobin, but was famous for not doing anything else. They have a wonderful line where when Watson comes and meets Crick, he says he was the young hope of the Cavendish Laboratory, and his hope was that his early promise would be realized before it got late. And so, versus somebody like Rosalind Franklin, who I think was at King's College, and who has again a wonderful sentence where she one of her research assistants is asking her, well, do you think this crystallographic evidence they have means DNA is like this or like that? And she says, do you read detective novels? The assistant says yes. She says, do you go to the end to see who did it first? And he says, no. He says, that's right, because the point is not what the solution is. The point is, why is it the solution? And if you go through all the trouble and study all the data, the solution will make itself evident. You don't have to guess then, as opposed to guessing and then seeing if the guesses work. And of course, the interesting thing is that the guessers actually beat her to it. But it's a wonderful, really moving movie about these people who really devoted their lives to this miraculous subject. I often think about that, the people who were involved and the people who did whole genome sequencing at the beginning. And it's like, how could they have imagined when they were young scientists that they would get to the point where the human genome would be completely known?
That's amazing.
Now, it's just, it is both riveting and really moving. It's a great, great movie. So, Life Story, starring a lot of British people, but Jeff Goldblum, a young Jeff Goldblum, plays Jim Watson.
Nice. Yeah. I like that idea that you just expressed, that it's important to know the theory, and if one understands fully the theory, then the results is already known, and they can imagine, and it's not a guess game, which kind of goes to, they have to think about it first.
It does. The movie actually is sort of agnostic about it, and I sort of agree. It's actually not so, the distinction between the two is not so clear. There's always a lot of intuition, but intuition can't be based on nothing. And so it's the dynamic between the two that's both useful and interesting to think about.
Interesting. So. I will definitely look the movie up.
Yeah, it's very funny in a sort of biting British sort of way. There's, they talk to though I've forgotten his specialty anyway, a famous Swiss scientist, I think he's Swiss, named Erwin Chargaff, who says, when trying to explain the equivalence of, you know, cytosine and thymine and that sort of thing, in which, you know, the ratios of the bases, he says, "Now, I'm going to talk slowly because I'm going to use some large words." So the sort of snootiness of everyone involved in this game, which I imagine was a factor of post-war European science. I don't know whether it still exists, but it's very entertaining to watch in this movie.
That's great.
Gail?
I think the movie that I really appreciate that's about science and statistics and analysis in general is a movie called Margin Call, which is about the collapse of the mortgage-based investment strategies that a whole bunch of Wall Street was really in on in the late 2000s.
It's essentially the start of the financial collapse of late 2007, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And so a lot of the concepts and ideas at a macro level are described in the movie Big Short, and that's a very popular description of it. This is more of like a personal story zoomed in specifically on a small number of people working kind of in the trenches of the analysis and that type of investment strategy. And it centers on one young analyst played by Zachary Quinto, who I think does a really good job of playing someone who's sort of quiet and unassuming, but like very, very intelligent, who realizes that the models they're using are making incorrect assumptions, and that basically the entire system is going to fall down like a house of cards.
Wow.
But he's working, you know, I'm sure he's making a lot of money in the movie, but he's not a very high up person. He's sort of at the lower middle tier. And what I find really interesting about it is sort of these quiet scenes where he's just working on his computer the way many of us work on our computers these days. And he's running these models and he's looking at things, and there's this sort of like feeling he's getting of like, how am I the only person seeing that this is wrong, that there's something strange here? And I just think it's a really good depiction of that process of like questioning yourself and then looking around and wondering if maybe you're crazy or everybody else is crazy. And I just really like that kind of depiction of analysis, as well as the interactions between, he's like a very quantitative person who used to work actually at NASA as like a rocket propulsion physicist or something. And it's kind of an interesting depiction of how these quants who are very mathematical, they're not really well understood by the suits who are actually in charge of them. So they write up these big reports essentially saying like, listen, everything's going to fail. And the people above them are like, is this true? You know, they're in these multi-billion dollar buildings and like everything seems fine. And they're sort of questioning like, is this person a madman or a genius? Anyway, I really like that depiction of analysis and kind of like figuring out something is wrong and being the only person. Because it's not depicted, I guess, sometimes, you know, in science movies, it gets depicted like an epiphany where someone yells Eureka and runs down the street and it's like this big moment. Instead, it's like very quiet and sort of unassuming. So I think that would be my pick, Margin Call. It's a very like character-focused look at the financial crisis.
I love that movie as well. It's funny that you mentioned it there. I remember there's a scene when the they first alert the suits, as you call them, that there's this potential problem, and they ask for, what's your CV? And he says, well, I have a PhD from MIT in propulsion ratios. And they say, so you're a rocket scientist.
Yeah, that's right. Says, yes. Yes. So a literal rocket scientist is the person. Of course, that's used usually as a joke of like, it's not rocket science.
Right,
but in exactly. this case, he was sort of, in the movie anyway, one of the few people to like...
But I wonder, I can't recall, is there a direct answer to the question? Or if not, what implications do you think it has for why it took this junior analyst to understand these risks? Why no one either believed it or even looked for it before he did?
I think that that's kind of also what the movie depicts, is like when you hire maybe like really, really smart people to do a bunch of modeling, but then there's no one who really understands what they're doing, interfacing with the actual like real life decisions of it. Because like, yeah, he's super duper smart and he's doing this modeling, and there's a bunch of them that are doing that modeling, and I think it's him just routinely checking some numbers that he then just realizes that one small assumption, essentially a line of code level of assumption, is wrong. And then he realized that extrapolating that there's going to be kind of a domino effect on the risk profile of all these bundled mortgages together. And it's just, it's interesting because it's like not a problem that anyone is noticing at the moment, but it's like going to happen in a few weeks or a month or sort of like right before the wave of it cresting and falling apart. So yeah, I think it is interesting because it also has some commentary, I think, about like very, very intelligent people doing something and then other folks not really understanding it and like kind of just using it without understanding it in any way.
Oh, that's so interesting. Because that's actually not quite what I took from the
movie. Oh, that's interesting. Well, what was your interpretation of it then?
Well, I mean, I grant that that's in it, but it seems to me, I can't remember who said it, but there's a truism that H.L. Mencken or somebody said that it's very difficult to get someone to understand something when his living depends on him not understanding it. And I think what happened was, is they, if I remember the mechanics of it, they had sort of set, as you said, one line of code, risk parameters. You know, defaults will be somewhere between 5 and 15%. Because that was historically what it had been before they introduced this new kind of financing. And then what happened was is that those assumptions were simply false, despite the fact that they'd made a lot of money, or in fact, because of the fact that they made a lot of money relying on those assumptions. And I think that's something that we people in our field have to be wary of ourselves, not so much us as the analysts, the underlings, but the people who are conceiving of these ideas clinically, epidemiologically, socially, what have you, because they often have, you know, they want to succeed. I've talked to so many doctors who want to help patients. That is what motivates them. But that's like a businessman wanting to make money. You can't blame them for doing it. But sometimes that can get in the way of seeing what's right in front of them.
Yeah, I just want to add that often the devil is in the details and the details of the assumptions, and one has to really think through those little details of what is going to be assumed, how is it going to be analyzed, how is it going to be operationalized, and those little details can make it or break it.
I often feel that way about when people are planning a clinical trial. Simple things such as estimating the effect size. So many assumptions go into that.
Absolutely.
And yet that's a foundational concept to the entire design and to the success eventually or failure of the trial.
Yeah, which could be completely our next episode. But I really enjoyed talking about both of the movies, and I haven't seen either one of yours.
Well, we'll have to pop some popcorn and we'll watch it all together.
We'll have a podcast movie night.
And this concludes another episode of our podcast, The Analytic Angle, from the Statistics, Data Science, and Data Management Core in HIV Center for Clinical and Behavioral Studies.